And as you can see, it's an acronym. Hey, Nick. It's an acronym. And so we are going to be covering each letter through the month of Wednesdays for December, talking about what is Christmas. So let's go to the next slide. And there's a very profound question on there. What is it really all about? Right? Man, Christmas has become just probably so far. I'm sure God, I say this a lot of time, I think the emoji this for God is probably all the time. You know, the emoji on your phone that does this. I'm sure God's like, Christmas, this is how they do Christmas in the world? Okay. Because as we know, it's become very different than what the real message is. And like I said, we love our traditions. And nothing wrong with a lot of our traditions. I don't think there's anything wrong with putting a tree up in your house and decorating it. Nothing wrong with, you know, giving presents to the ones you love. Nothing wrong with coming together as family and celebrating that. Nothing wrong with listening to Christmas songs and getting in the spirit and going through and seeing the Christmas lights at Tanglewood. All that stuff's fine. As long as we stay focused on what it's really all about. And we wouldn't have a Christmas without the main character, right? And the main character, of course, the first letter we're talking about tonight, if you go to the next slide, is Christ. Christ came. Christ came, and that's why we have Christmas. We all love the season, most of us do. I think they start playing Christmas music too early. Other than that, most of us like the season. It is about family, it's about sharing, it's about giving, it's about loving. You know, I've got great memories. I remember as a child, one of my greatest Christmas memories as a child is when I was little, and me and my cousin Tammy, which is Rodney's wife, and cousin Mark, her brother, we would ride together on Christmas Eve in my Uncle Homer, who's gone on to be the Lord. We'd all ride together up to Elkin to our family up there. And Sierra remembers these years too, not quite what I do, but these years. And we would load up in the back of Uncle Homer's van, and we'd ride up to Elkin, and me and Tammy and Mark would be in the back, just, you know, being kids, cutting up, and we'd go and stuff our face full of food, and then we'd come back to their house, and I knew it was Christmas because, you know, Dad stayed up late that night. That was a late night for Dad. It wasn't a 9 o'clock night. We'd get back, and we'd, after getting back from Elkin, we'd go back in their house, and Barbara always had brownies, or fudge. We'd have fudge, and we'd go in their house for a little bit and eat some fudge and celebrate that, and then, you know, go home and, you know, wait on the next morning, Christmas morning, which is so exciting. Great memories of those years. Great, great memories. Great memories of going to my granny's house every Christmas for years and years and years, going to her house and eating and all the family being together. Great times in my life for Christmas. And those are traditions that I'll always cherish. And those are okay and those are real and those are right. But the one thing we must always focus on is what Christmas is really all about. And we wouldn't have the family and the fellowship and the joy and the peace and the hope if it wasn't for Christ coming. And because Christ came, that's why we have Christmas. So we're going to read some scriptures about Christ coming. And we're going to be in the Old Testament. We're going to start in the book of Isaiah chapter 7. And this is where the prophet prophesies the coming of Christ. And what amazes me about this is Isaiah prophesied this over 600 years before it came to pass. And it wasn't just some general prophecy, right? Like I could prophesy tonight and say, oh, I will see the gas prices increase in the next 5 years. Well, that's probably going to happen. We know that. That's not really a prophecy. This was so specific in these prophecies that there's no mistaking that what Isaiah was prophesying was fulfilled in the New Testament. Or fulfilled in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was fulfilled. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The prophet says this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that's pretty specific. Because I've been alive for a few years. Gail's been alive even more years. And I don't know yet of a virgin that's conceived. Do y'all? Do you, Gail? No virgins that's conceived. That's pretty specific. This is a prophecy saying. I mean, think how out of the box that would be. I mean, think about if I'm up here on Sunday morning, right, and I'm preaching, and out of my mouth comes these words. Behold, the Lord's going to send a sign in the future. A virgin is going to conceive and have a child. I mean, y'all be asking me out of church. He's out of here. Because we know that just can't happen. But it did happen. Here's the prophet prophesying that a virgin, that Christ is going to come. Why did it have to be of a virgin? Because this Christ, this gift, this lamb, had to be perfect. And if it was mixed with the blood of man, it would be imperfect. So it had to come another way. It had to come apart from mixing with the sinfulness of man. So a virgin had to conceive. The seed of God had to be planted apart from the contamination of man. So that's why the virgin's birth is so important and so critical in the doctrine of Christ. We take the virgin birth out, we really don't have much of anything. We have another kid being born. I mean, really, let's be honest. But because it came through a virgin birth, conceived by the Holy Spirit, this made the sacrifice perfect and acceptable for the payment of our sin. The very next two chapters over, chapter 9, same book, the prophet says this in verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be what? No end. This new king that's going to be raised up, this Christ that's being born, there'll be no end to his kingdom. There are ends to every other kingdom. Rulers, kings, presidents, prime ministers, senators, congressmen, all the positions of life, you know, all these positions of authority, they come and they go. They come and they go. That season ends, that season ends, that season ends. Look at our own life, how our seasons end. There's things that Doc did in his 20s he can't do no more. He wants to do them. His head says he can do them. His mouth says he can do them. But his body won't catch up with his mind. It's just how it is. There's seasons change. We realize seasons change. When I walked away from Walmart in the year 2003, October 31st, on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'll never forget thinking, and I knew God was closing a season of my life. I said that, I was in the parking lot, and I said, God, I know you're closing this season. I don't want you to close it, but I know you're closing it. I don't want to be closed, but I know it's what you want. And I knew that season would be closed, and it was never the same. I can't go back in time now in the back of Uncle Homer's van with me, Cousin Mark, and Cousin Tammy in our 40s, you know, going to Elkin. That season's changed. Number one, Uncle Homer's not here. Number two, that van is not here. Number three, we all grown. Number four, a lot of people have gone on with the Lord. They're not even here at all. Things have changed. That was a season that was wonderful. But I can't go back and capture it. There was a season growing up where Saturday mornings, remember Saturday mornings, how fun they were for us? And remember Saturday mornings, cartoons, right? We live for that, man. You get up, get your cereal, and watch cartoons on Sunday mornings. I mean, on Saturday mornings. Man, that was the highlight. And you only could watch them on Saturday mornings. The only time you could see them was Saturday mornings. And then I remember the after-school specials. Oh, they were fun, too. And they were good. They were clean. They were good. I loved. And I loved the shows like Captain Kangaroo and Sesame Street, right? All of these shows that, you know, I grew up with. Well, I can't go back and capture that. That season's over. And so the prophet is saying of this king, of this Christ that's going to come, there's going to be no end to what he's going to do, which is good news for us. I don't have to worry about this Christ bailing on me, cutting ties with me, moving on without me, saying, okay, I was here yesterday, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow. My God is here yesterday, my God is here today, and my God is here tomorrow. There is no end to who my God is and what his authority is. Nothing will ever change that. I think that's a very important part of this prophecy. To his kingdom, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. This Christ came one time to be established forever. We come and go. Every gravestone has a date, a dash, and a date. But if Christ had a gravestone, it would have a birthday and then one long dash. Because there's no end to his kingdom. The prophet tells us this. Another little prophet here in the book of Micah. Let's turn to Micah. One little verse in Micah. Little book of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says this. I'm in Jonah, sorry. Micah 2:5. Is that right, 2:5? 5:2, that's why it didn't look right, sorry. 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little, though you're little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. This seed, and we won't get into all this tonight because it's just too much, but this seed of Christ has always been. The Bible talks about he's always been. But he was made manifest in this time and in this season. This seed has always been, but this seed came forth and manifested itself 2,000 years ago to provide for us Christmas, to provide for us the hope and the expectation of a kingdom that never will end. And that's what we celebrate. That's why we celebrate the birth of our Savior. It wasn't just a nice scene. It wasn't just a romantic story. It's not just an emotional thing. We're celebrating this seed being made manifest to change the destiny of humanity forevermore. Because without this seed being manifested, Paul said at one place, we would still be in our sin. If Christ be not risen from the dead, well, Christ can't rise to the dead if Christ don't first come and die. And so if he hadn't been risen from the dead, we would still be in our sin. We would still have no hope and no future. The first step of our salvation, the first step of our redemption was the sea in Christmas. Christ came. Throughout eternity, the priest, the scribes, all the church leaders would, you know, do their thing and their sacrifice. The Bible is clear to say these priests would stand daily and they would minister sacrifices and produce their offerings. But none of these offerings and none of these sacrifices could ever take away sin. But this man went in once and for all to obtain that eternal redemption for us. But he had to first come. And he came 2,000 years ago in the form of a physical, natural baby boy. A natural, fleshly baby. Yet he was born apart from the contamination of man's blood. That's why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We have seen here the prophet, two prophets who have prophesied this coming of this Christ 600 years before it happened. Let's see if they were right. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. What? Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm sorry. I messed up on that. Yes, go to that one. We're not to the second one yet. Maybe I got out of order. I'm sorry. Matthew 1, we're still talking about Christ came. 1:21-23 says this. He shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Man. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, here is the prophecy exactly being fulfilled, what Isaiah said. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. We just read that verse, right? And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. We just read that, Isaiah 7:14. Just read that. So here the Bible, 600 years later, is giving credit to the prophet Isaiah. That Isaiah, what you said back yonder, here it is. This is it. This is that. Hallelujah. And that word Emmanuel means God with us. Whom shall we fear, right, of God before us? I know God's with me. God's not some vague, mystical vapor floating around me. God is not some faraway deity that I have to do certain things to get his attention. God is with me. He's with me. In my darkest hour, he's with me. When I cry out, he's with me. When I'm angry, when I'm hurt, when I'm mad, when I'm afraid, he's with me. When I'm uncertain, when I don't know what to do or where to go, he's with me. I serve a present God, not a distant God. A God that's with me in every season, every storm, every trial, every tribulation. God is with me. And he doesn't forsake me. He doesn't leave me. This seed that came is here to stay. Thank God for that. If you're at home, you can say amen out there. Because this is good preaching for a first Sunday, a first Wednesday of December. All right. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Talking about Christ came. Luke 1. I got this little amplified, so I'm a little slower. I'm used to my other Bible, flipping through quicker. All right, Luke 1, verse 31. Says this. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for 8 years. Anybody seeing that? He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Christ came and established his kingdom that will never end. So what do I care who rises and who comes in this earthly system? We're going to have leaders rise and come, presidents rise and come, governors rise and leave. All that's going to always change. But as long as I know this, that Christ came and he's staying right where he's at. And he's not going nowhere. He's not leaving me. He's in full control of everything that happens. Every wheel that turns is because God turns it. Every bird that chirps is because God commands it. Every sea that rolls in is because God tells it to. That's who's in charge. That's who's in control. And more importantly than that, there's a place, John 14 says, he went to prepare for us, right? If I wasn't so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you will be also. So this kingdom's not just about his position now. This kingdom's about our position in him that's always available and always there. So I trust that no matter what happens in this kingdom, the earth, the heavenly kingdom remains. No matter what changes here, it doesn't change there. 2020 didn't do anything to chip away the kingdom of God whatsoever. Nothing's changed. He's still God. He's still the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last, the great I am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. He's still all those things. Nothing's changed. Period. His kingdom is forever. Mary said to the angel, how shall this be? You're telling me I'm going to have a kid, angel. How can it be, seeing I've not known a man? I've not been with nobody. How do I have a child if I've not been with nobody? The angel said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Overshadowed. Think about that. That's a real power word, isn't it? Overshadowed. It kind of just consumes you. It overtakes you. It takes control of your situation. That's why, for those of us that experience the moving of the Holy Spirit in a physical way, you know, and people make fun of this and think it's fake and all that, but when someone, we use terms like slaying the Spirit, right, or, you know, you lose all your physical ability and you just fall out under the Spirit. You know what's really happening? You're being overshadowed. There's something greater taking place in you than what you can even withstand. There's something greater that's going against what should be, as you're standing there with your will, right? With your will, you know, okay, I've got this, da, 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 and then something happens, a spirit hits you in such a way that there's no more control anymore, and it just overtakes you. See, Mary didn't need a man to have this child. Because the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed, overtook. It took command. It took charge. It had authority. It didn't need this to produce this. He had the power. Imagine how Mary must have felt as this salutation is being announced to her. Yeah, that's it on that part. Okay, so here we see Christ came. Here's a prophecy of what's going to happen. Still talking to Mary about how it's going to happen. All this. Now turn to Luke chapter 2, very next chapter. Luke 2, we'll start with verse 6 for time's sake. It says, and it was so that while they were there, they went to be taxed, you know, in the city. While they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And here it is. Here's the coming of Christmas. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Here, this child, this prophecy of 600 years has now completely, exactly come to pass. This young virgin maiden has had this child apart from man, and this is the Son of God. This is Jesus. This is the Emmanuel, and he was born just like the prophet said. Verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And I love this part. I've altered this next part. Which shall be to all people. I've got good news for you. What you're going to experience, who you're going to go see, is changing your destiny. It's changing your future. It's changing humanity's future. Because now all things are old and everything now is brand new. What is happening tonight is a celebration of a kingdom that's come, that no man can shut down, that no man can cancel out, that the devil can't take it away. It's a kingdom that God established forevermore, and it reigns forever. It goes on, as we sung Sunday morning about his love. It goes on and on and on it goes. One thing remains, the kingdom of God. When all else falls around us, God's kingdom stands. When all crumbles, God stands. When everything goes haywire, God stands. The throne is still the throne, and nothing can take that away. He's God forevermore. And that's the good news to us, to all people, including me. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm sorry, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. His purpose in coming was to save us. It was to redeem us. It was to reconcile his people back to his kingdom. There was a separation because of sin. There was death because of sin. There was judgment because of sin. This Christ came to eradicate that, to reverse that, to fulfill the law which we could not fulfill, that we could be born again anew. Even though all of us were still born in sin. But because of Christ and his precious blood, it's remedied that problem. And just because I'm born naturally into sin does not mean that I stay in sin. It means I've been born again out of sin into his righteousness. Christ the Savior is born. Savior. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There was a celebration happening that night. Something had happened. Christ came. This was the biggest announcement the earth, even though they didn't know it at the time, didn't understand the magnitude of what was happening. Put it in terms we can relate to. Just terms we can relate to, okay? Our biggest actor we love, or our musician, or, you know, President Trump with all these rallies, you would see 10,000 people, you know, and they'd wait for 3 or 4 hours just to get a glimpse of him or hear his voice coming from all over the country because he's arrived. President Trump's arrived. People packing places to see him. People packing concerts halls, people packing football stadiums, you know, 50,000 people, 75,000 people. Some of the college bowls hold 100,000 people. I mean, just absolutely packed to see because they've arrived. If I announced this Sunday morning that Elvis Presley was raised from the dead, he'd be here Sunday morning performing live. This place, you couldn't hold him. They'd be from here to Harmony in line. Elvis has arrived. And everybody be all shook up. And not by the Holy Ghost. That's just how it is. Here is an announcement of what just happened. Christ has arrived. And the world didn't understand. And I think still today the world doesn't comprehend what this special moment of time was, that Christ came into the world to forever change the world. It was the greatest announcement ever known. It was the greatest declaration could ever be declared. A Savior is born, and this Savior is going to save you from your sins. This is the greatest announcement ever. It's better than a doctor being able to heal you of your disease, because eventually you're still going to be off this earth. It's better than a lawyer getting you out of a bad situation, because you're still eventually going to be off the earth. It's when we're off the earth that matters. What happens after we're off the earth? What happens next? There's a kingdom waiting because Christ came. So I celebrate that. Though kingdoms rise and fall here, I can count on this kingdom to never fall and to never fail. It is the kingdom of God, who has a God who is on the throne forevermore through every dark season of my life, no matter what comes. And there'll be a day when my name is called, when your name is called, that you will walk into that kingdom for yourself, and you will experience that moment, and you will recognize the magnitude of what the angel said and what the shepherds saw when they said, "Glory to the highest, good news to the world, to all people it's good news." I'm part of that people, and I'm part of that good news, and I'm part of that kingdom, and I've got a piece of the pie that God has saved, wrapped just for me. And when my name's called, that piece of pie is unwrapped and delivered, and I will eat the manna which God has set aside just for me. And that's something to celebrate. Christ came. That's the very beginning point of Christmas. Without Christ coming, there will be no Christmas. Let's go to our second point. We'll get through as much as we can in the next 20 minutes. Give me 20 minutes. H stands for hope restored. Hope. I think with what we're battling with COVID right now, everybody's looking for hope. I hope things change. I hope things get back to normal. I hope they get a vaccine. I hope people quit dying. I hope this happens. I hope this happens. I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this does. We're searching for hope right now. You know why? Because hope makes us feel good. When we have hope, we have peace and joy. They're really kind of all married together. Because when you're walking in the power of hope, you're also walking the power of peace and the power of joy. Hope is exciting. Hope motivates us. So let's read some verses on hope. Let's start in Luke chapter 2. You're already there. Verse 10. Verse we just read. The angel said to them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I have hope now because of this good news. I have hope because God told me I've got joy and I've got good news for you. We need good news. We don't hear enough good news. Everything's negative, everything's bad, everything's wrong, everything's rotten, everything's horrible, everything's terrible. That's why I said a couple weeks ago during Thanksgiving that, you know, don't let anything that's happened take away your Thanksgiving, because in the reality, our lives really, on the important things, haven't changed. We still see, walk, breathe, raise our hands, walk in here, got our mind, got our home, got our food, got our clothes, got our family, got our church. Most of you, if you're still working, have your job. Maybe a little different, but you're still working. So we still have all the same thing to thank God for. Hope. I have hope because Christ came. And that's all part of why we celebrate Christmas, because the hope of our future. See, Christmas is really going backward 2,000 years, right, chronologically.
But really, it's celebrating a future. Because if there was no past of Christmas, if there was no ghost of Christmas past, there would be no ghost of Christmas future. Look at John chapter 6, St. John chapter 6, verse 51. It says this: I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, that I will give for the life of the world. Hallelujah. Once again, how can I have hope? Jesus came. He couldn't have died to give me that life if he hadn't first come. So he came to be that Savior and to give me that life. And so now I have hope to realize if I believe in Jesus, if I trust him in what he done, death is no longer on my radar. I don't have that death marked on my calendar. Yes, I may not be here the way you see me, but I surely will not go through death and darkness and torment and separation from God. I will not go through that. So I have great hope. That's why I celebrate Christmas. God, you gave me hope of a future that I didn't have before you came. I didn't have that hope. David talked about that hope many places. King David talked about that there would be a day to come when God would remember our iniquities no more, when God would cast them as far as the east is from the west, where God would wash us white as snow. David talked about that. David saw this great hope coming, but didn't live to experience it. We are in a generation that is living in the moment of Christ coming, Christ establishing things, and Christ being on the throne forevermore, and we can walk in a forgiven state forevermore. No more priests offering sacrifices for us. No more of this stuff to try to take away sin. But because Christ came, now I have the great hope of knowing my sins are washed away. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? Like the old song, what a friend we have in Jesus. No friend done what this friend did and gave me hope of a future. Me and Mom were talking about something earlier, and most of you have heard of this term. DNR means do not resuscitate. And some folks in their medical parts of their life, they have that recorded. Do not DNR me. If I go, don't bring me back. Some don't have it. For many, for most, it's left up to the choice of a loved one to make that decision based on what the doctor says. But me and Mom were talking about this, and she goes, if wouldn't you want to be brought back if something happened to you? And I said, depends. I'm not sure I would. If I'm with Jesus, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And the reason I say that, life is precious. Naturally, we fight for life, and we want to live. It's in our nature to fight for life. When we get scared in life, when things, that's why, you know, when a German Shepherd chases you, you run. You're trying to save your life, okay? When a car's coming at you, you swerve. You're trying to instinct to save your life. When you're bleeding or get cut, you're holding yourself. You're trying to get help. You're trying to save your life. So I know that we want to preserve our life. That's in our nature. But what gives me great hope is knowing after this life what's waiting on me. What is waiting on me, man? And, you know, I love this song. It's an oldie, and I think about this every time. I think about this song being spiritual, actually. But that old song, Celebrate, right? Celebrate good times. Come on. Dun, dun. There's a party going on right here. Da-da-da-da, you know, out throughout the year. So, na-na-na-na. Anyway, Celebrate. The parts I know I love. And I'm sitting here thinking, that is exactly what the kingdom of God will be doing. We are going to be celebrating. And so when I have the hope of the kingdom that I'm going to inherit, then I don't worry as much about what happens here. See, we are not like those that have no hope as Christians, right? The Bible taught, we're not like those that have no hope. I've heard many a preacher at many funerals say that line. It says, Brother so-and-so, Brother Johnson, you know, Sister Susie, they don't have, it's not like they didn't have hope. They had hope in something. So because of the hope and faith they had in Christ, they're not here. They are with Him forevermore. Hope is a beautiful thing. And because Christ came, because He died for our sins, because we were forgiven, when we think about Christmas, Christ, You came, and my hope's now been restored. I'm no longer lost. I'm no longer abandoned. I'm no longer an orphan. I'm no longer alone. Emmanuel is with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Talking about hope still. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13, 14. But now in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, verse 12. Ephesians 2, chapter 12. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. You were without Him. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having what? No hope. And without God in this world. Me and Melly have had this conversation. How do people that don't believe in God have any peace or hope? How do you live this life? Church, I couldn't have got through 2020 without the hope in God. I couldn't have got through this year. I couldn't face any days without hope in Christ at all. But He's telling them, you were away from Me. You were aliens. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself two one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And He closes out with this: now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I think about the ones that went before me on this verse. I want to see David. I want to see Jesus, of course. But I think about people I would love to see and have a relationship with. I'd love to see David. I'd love to see Joseph. I'd love to see Daniel. I'd love to see Samson and all of his muscles. I'd love to see these patriarchs that the Bible says a great cloud of witnesses, right? It's going on before us. They're cheering us on. Did you realize I'm part of the same kingdom King David is? I'm part of the same kingdom the Apostle Paul, who says, I have kept the faith and my departure is at hand. I'm part of it. We're homies in the same kingdom. I'm a fellow citizen. We understand, we hear this. It's a very controversial term in America because of the political viewpoints. But we hear this term in America about illegal, right? Are you a legal citizen? Are you an illegal citizen? And now that word illegal offends many people. So whatever you want to use the term. But the point is, are you a born, joined citizen of America? Are you a rightful citizen of America? The kingdom of God, we are rightful citizens of His kingdom. I'm a fellow citizen of all the apostles and all the great men and women that have gone before me. And I'm part of the kingdom of Almighty God. He is the head and the king of this kingdom. And I am connected and I'm part of that. So my hope has been restored because I'm no longer a stranger. I'm not a foreigner. I'm not apart from God. I'm not away from God. I'm not outside the covenant of promise anymore. I am now part of the covenant. I'm now part of the promise. I'm now part of the kingdom. And that's good news. And that's why hope was restored. God brought us back from where we were. The flaming sword that kept them out of the Garden of Eden is no longer turning for us. We now have access. The Bible says this. We have access to the Father. We're no longer kept out of paradise. Hallelujah. If that don't give y'all some hope, there ain't no shouting hope in you left. One more scripture. We're going to make it, church. Give me 6 minutes. Titus chapter 2. Titus, the little book of Titus. That's back there toward the back of your New Testament, toward the end. Little Titus. right after Timothy. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says this: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And I think it's very important we personalize that. We put our name in that. You know, who gave himself for James, that he might redeem James from all iniquity and purify unto himself James, a peculiar person, which Melly would agree to, zealous of good works. I can now walk in blessed hope. Blessed hope. Mac, I like the way that's termed. Blessed hope. Why? Because I'm part of his kingdom, because he came, because Christ came to give me that hope. He came to forgive me my sins. And so now I have a hope of a future that I wouldn't have had if he hadn't come. Because he came, everything for tomorrow now looks different. Everything is different. Think about this. We went away to the beach last week for a few days. Had a wonderful time. And I threw my swimming trunks away when I was cleaning out. I was packing up for that, cleaning out for summer, getting stuff ready for fall, and I threw out my swimming trunks. I had them for like several years. So I ain't going to need them until next year. I'll throw them away. And so then we ended up going down, and I'm like, man, I got the swimming trunks. You know, they might sell swimming trunks around here in November. And I said, what am I going to do? I've got to have something on. What am I going to do? And Amazon, right? So Ashley and Nick was a part of it. Thank you, Nick. They ordered my swimming trunks for me on Amazon. And they said it will arrive. And I got to point this story. Said it will arrive on this certain date. Because I didn't order like a week before he's leaving. I said, man, I hope I get them before we go. And they did. They came to your house? Yeah, they came to Nick's house. I'm trying to steal my swimming trunks. They're Nautica. They're really nice. They're so cool looking. Anyway, I ordered them. They came to Nick's house. And they came in time. And my whole point of this was, you know, I had hope, right, that the swimming trunks were going to come before the beach. So I can get in that hot tub with my new swimming trunks. I was hoping they'd get here. And it gave me, and then they had a tracking number, you know, so I could see, you know, tracking. Okay, it's been, it's in Greensboro. Nothing else, I'll go there and get them. I know it's close, right? You know, all this effort and all this energy and all this hope for a $12 pair of swimming trunks, right? Think about the kingdom of God. He prepared that. There's a big old hot tub in the sky, right, that God's prepared for us. And one day when our name's called because he came, we're going to walk into that place and forever, forever live and abide and be free from all the stuff that keeps us bound right here for everything. That's exactly right. I'm just glad that tracking number don't tell me exactly what my departure is. I wouldn't like that. All righty. One more verse, Titus chapter 3, same book, one more chapter. Verse 4 says this: but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made, here's the hope part, because of what he done, because of all we just read right there, we are going to be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We all know what heirs is. We all know what heirs are. We're excited to be an heir to somebody, unless they're broke. We're excited to be an heir to somebody, right? When you're an heir to somebody. So we got three kids. So right now, you know, at this present moment, let's say, you know, something can change. At this present moment, right now, my three kids are divided equally on our stuff, right? Equally. If something happened to me, Melanie gets it all. So that's why I sleep with one eye open most nights. She gets it all. If something happens to me or Melanie the way it's set up, our three kids get it divided three ways. They're heirs. Christian, Jamie, and Ashley would receive whatever we would leave behind, even though they didn't, I want you to hear me. They didn't do a thing to earn it. They didn't work a day stocking a green bean can like I did to put that IRA in there. They didn't start a church and have all the stress of everybody, half people hating you, half people loving you, half leaving you, half staying. They didn't put up with all that. Our kids, whatever me and Melly would leave them today, if something happened to us today and they inherited all that we had, none of them did a thing to earn that, but yet they're heirs to it, which means they get the IRAs and they get this and they get the house and they get all the things that they had nothing to do with but make a mess and cause chaos in, but they're heirs. Think about this. He plainly said, not by works you've done, not by stuff you've done, because of what I've done, you're now an heir. So I have hope. My hope's been restored. God, I'm going to inherit the kingdom. Something you paid the price for. Something you did. I had nothing to do with it, God. I wasn't there when you walked on that journey to Mount Calvary. I wasn't there as they plucked your beard and stuck nails in you. I wasn't there when they whipped you across the back. I wasn't there when they took you down and wrapped you up and put you in a tomb. I wasn't there, God, when they spit upon you and curse you and blasphemed you. I wasn't there, but yet I'm an heir to what you have for me. Praise God for that, because Christ came, hope's been restored. That's why we celebrate Christmas. The Savior came, and hope now has been restored. Next week we'll get into our next two letters, R and I. Next Wednesday, nothing changes. R and I we'll get into next week, talking about Christmas. The first one, C, Christ came. Second letter, H, hope restored. As you think about Christmas this month, as you begin to celebrate different things and however you want to do it, keep this acronym in your mind of what we're celebrating. The presents are nice, and the givings are nice, and all the meals, the banana puddings, and the pecan pies, and the green bean casseroles, and all that stuff's great. You know, all the Christmas movies, and, you know, usually every year I watch It's a Wonderful Life, and I usually watch a Scrooge movie, and I watch those things every year. All that's okay. You know, I text Marjorie tonight. I said, before she got here, I said, you got some Christmas songs you can do, and your great keyboardist suggests songs like, oh, you mean Grandma, Grandma, Reindeer? No. And what was the other one you said? Oh, Santa Baby? No. And so I went and added on there, Baby It's Cold Outside. That don't work either, okay? So let's speak to spiritual songs. But she was just joking, of course. But those songs are fun. In the back of my Uncle Homer's van, he'd crank the Christmas songs up, and we listened to those songs. We loved it. Grandma, I remember the first time I heard that song. It was so hilarious. Man, that's the funniest song, right? Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. Oh, so funny. Funny songs. And we enjoy those songs. Rudolph, we enjoy those songs. Frosty the Snowman. You know, I ain't all religious to get all. We can't do those stuff. I'm just saying we need to really focus on what we're celebrating and the real meaning of it, because the real meaning will change your life. The real meaning of Christmas will completely change your destiny. Any comments before we say our closing prayer? I went over about 2 minutes. I'm sorry about that. Anybody got any closing comments about this message tonight? Going once, twice. Yes. Yes. That's a very good point. We were born into it. In fact, the verse about where the Bible says we've been adopted into the sonship, right? We've been adopted. We've been born into it. Good point. Anybody else? Thanks for coming tonight, Nick. With Ashley not being here, that's very commendable. That's why I love this kid. Well, let's stand up. We'll close out in prayer. If you have